You are listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to westhill.net/donate.
Welcome to West Hill, where we honor the diverse thinking of people and their actions in contributing to the making of a better world. We acknowledge that we are on the traditional territory of the Mississaugas of the New Credit First Nations lands, which lands were previously occupied by the Seneca and Huron-Wendat First Nations.
Grounded, Guided, Growing, A Time for Centering, from Scott Kearns.
I need his style. I work in long-term care. 200 people live in the building where I work, or I work in the building in which they live. It's an important thing to stress there. And I was talking to a woman, bedbound, alone, no family, no visitors, and she's not well. But she looked at me when we were talking about life. I can't remember her past. And she looked up and she says, you know, I'm still part of it. And I said, yes, you certainly are. And she says, I'm still part of it till I'm not. And I said, I love that. I'm going to mention that. She knew she was a part of something bigger than herself. She didn't seem to be had any connection with religion or whatever, but she knew that. And in the hours and days and weeks of lying alone, that was still a real thing to her, and I was very impressed with that. And that's what we try and stress here, is that very basic grounding, not in a belief that we can't prove, but in something that's an absolute fact. So I've written some thoughts on the screen. Well, no, I didn't actually write them on the screen, Glenn, that you wouldn't have appreciated that. I wrote them on the PowerPoint, and they will appear on the screen while I play us towards our sharing song. And it's sort of a reminder of what she was saying, that why it matters, why you matter, is because we're part of something amazing.
The first reading will be from a well-known author, Leonard Cohen. No pride when the world approves of you. No shame when the world scorns you. And the second reading, love people and use things. The opposite has never worked. And the third, from Winston Churchill, when you're going through hell, keep going. And then the fourth, a poem by Edgar Guest, an early 20th century poet, who was actually a favorite of Edith Bunker's. And it was also a poem that was recited at the London Paralympics in 2012. So it's got something to say to us. Somebody said it couldn't be done, but he, with a chuckle, replied that maybe it couldn't, but he would be one who wouldn't say so till he tried. So he buckled right in with a trace of a grin on his face. If he worried, he hit it. He started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. Somebody scoffed. Oh, you'll never do that. At least no one has ever done it. But he took off his coat and he took off his hat, and the first thing we knew, he'd begun it. With a lift of his chin and a bit of a grin, without any doubting or quivet, he started to sing as he tackled the thing that couldn't be done, and he did it. There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start in to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it. Offered as wisdom for the journey.
Focused Moments from Greta Vosper.
So the focus moment this morning is for George, written for his Time series. It's called Upon Awakening. I never titled my focus moments, but this one demanded one. First, there is an awareness, then a thumping, a thrumming, a memory, a half-formed thought, a sigh arching itself free of its morning stretch. Soon, too soon, I will open my eyes, arise, meet the day. But while I've time, moments pressed into the day's insatiable turning, stolen from its demand before they even coalesce in my consciousness, let me lie here. Find myself and fold it back into my being, all its music restored, its poetry reconfigured, its breath simple and unchallenged. Let me find time. Let me find time.
Offering those readings to you, the first three, but the last one I learned about 55 years ago and about 160 pounds ago on my grandfather's lap, and I've never heard it recited so well, so thank you. Today we're going to, last week, I'm always nervous about going to movie sequels because sometimes they don't work out so well, so consider this a sequel. But this is the important sequel, because last week we talked mainly about planning and identifying what was important to us and what we wanted to do. This week we're going to talk about execution, if that's an allowed word in here. So what's the slide? Can you read that? Anyway, during last week's Time Leadership Session, we rediscovered some often forgotten truths. The main one being that a good life is one that was lived according to values. And I use the example, I'm doing this for people who weren't here, and also as a reminder for people who were here, of the scuba diver, right? Who got rid of all, he hated cleaning dishes, but loved scuba diving, so he just tossed them in the lake and he'd go diving for them. And then, you know, our society is so hectic, and in some ways it's good, in some ways it's not so good, and we sometimes get on the spin cycle. So I talked about Enright asking me what time it was when I looked at my watch about 8 times in the last minute. And you can easily get on the spin cycle. So next slide. So identifying our values, to me, is the... And the reason we spend the whole time on values is because if you get them right, you have a chance. You still have to act on them, like New Year's resolutions, but you have a chance. If you get them wrong, you're toast. We talked about the 5 D's. I won't go through them, but free up some time. Because the only thing we have a shortage of, those of us who have jobs and who are fairly prosperous, is time. And we feel that. I mean, I've got 200 podcasts waiting for me, and I've got a million Netflix movies waiting for me, and blah, 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 and that's just the good stuff. That's before you start working. The importance of giants in our lives. So my grandfather was a giant in my life. I memorized that poem when I was 6 years old, and I use it a lot when I'm speaking to on behalf of the United Way, for example, but I've never heard it again recited so well. So whatever you value is what you value. I'm not going to be one of those guys in the self-help gang that tell you what you shouldn't be doing. Do whatever you want, as long as you value it. So, I next slide. So I assigned some homework, and it wasn't for me. It was for you. It was some questions to identify and clarify your values. And if you did the homework, that's fine. If you didn't, you've probably been doing it all your life. Because these are big questions that you ask yourself as you live. So today is about a series of topics, and I'm going to cover a lot of them quickly because we need to have a sing-along with Gordy Lightfoot at the end. One of the hearts of what I recommend is that you do your planning weekly. So in other words, since you have limited control over what happens to you and what happens in the world, it doesn't make much sense to plan for a whole bunch of stuff 2 years from now. Because it may not be there, or you may not be here, as an example. And last year, I was supposed to do this session, actually, last February, for those of you who know that. And I ended up having another heart procedure. So here I am today, with hopefully a better heart, but much later, I missed my date. So I didn't manage my time very well. Right? And there's so much that is unmanageable. That said, the next bullet talks about making long-range plans on a limited number of items. Makes sense, right? When you're planning a vacation or sorting out how to save money for retirement or whatever. There are some things that you can be reasonably certain, and even if you're not certain, you should plan for them. But mainly, just do this. If you think of it as 52 New Year's days, because I don't know about you, but when I look at when I used to do resolutions, because I don't do them anymore, I have a continually updated plan that I follow. But when I used to make resolutions, you know, I was going to split the atom and do cold fusion and flood the Sahara. And that was by noon on the first day. And I was always going to lose 30 pounds, this 30 pounds that was largely still here, unfortunately. And then I realized that what would happen is that in June I would blow the dust off the resolutions, look at them and go, I'm already behind. On the weight thing, usually I gained 5 pounds by then. Because it was winter. So what that meant was that if I was trying to lose 26 pounds, I was in the second half of the year, I had to lose 31. Anyone been there? Yeah. But, you know, we do have some control. So, for example, I saw this great cartoon the other day, and it's these two women gardening. And one is down in the ground planting seeds, and the other one's saying, what do you think's going to happen in 2019? And the one on the ground says, well, there's going to be flowers in 2019. And she said, the other one said, how do you know? Because I'm planting flowers. And so we do have some control. So the bottom bullet just says weekly planning, why New Year's resolutions don't work. I think I just said that. It's too daunting. Brain science says, like on climate change and a whole bunch of societal issues, when things are too big and too overwhelming, we tend not to do them. We hide. But if you translate that 26 pounds into a half pound a week, which is 26 pounds, it's manageable. And what that probably means is you won't lose the 26, you lose 10. So you got another 20 to go the following year. But you've made some progress because your brain isn't telling you it's too scary, or your brain isn't telling you to be a perfectionist. Next slide. Yeah, so instead of doing resolutions and all these grand declarations of how you're going to flood the Sahara, I highly recommend that you look at your credo or your list of values and do it weekly, so that it's like having 52 New Year's. And when you schedule your time, I think I talked about this last time, but visualize the big items, the important items that you're really concerned about and that you want to spend time on as tennis balls. Then kind of the medium items are golf balls. And then the sand will come. All that crap that fills up your day, it'll just come. Don't schedule it. Which doesn't mean don't have to-do lists. It just means don't schedule the crap. But, you know, goofing off is a good thing to do. I've got a PhD in it. Because sometimes you need to goof off. Sometimes you just need to relax. Sometimes you need to turn off your brain. Sometimes you need to lay in bed without a radio, without an iPad, and without movies and all that stuff. And I won't expand on that at all. And the latest research, it just came out in the fall, is that there are three essential factors contributing to a long life. So there's no guarantee this will give you a long life, but it'll give you a good and rich life and will lengthen your life on average. One is exercise. No surprise there. So I'll talk about exercise in a little while. One that I was somewhat surprised at was how important social contact is. So if you go into an old age home and you see the people that are really talking a lot and visiting with people, they're always the healthy ones. They're always the happy ones. Where's Gene? I'm talking about Gene. Right? Because is Gene around? Hey, Gene. I call her Gene the dancing machine because you see her dance. But anyway, Gene bombs around, right? She talks to everyone. And how old are you? How old are you, Jane? 97? Anyway, living proof. Procrastination. That's a biggie. I've got a PhD in that as well. Remember, I turn it into a game that I won't tell you about, but it's a dangerous game. But the best, I think I mentioned about Margaret Atwood, her advice on procrastinating was to just put your bum in the seat at 9 and get out of it at 5. The better one I heard, though, was a friend of mine who used to run CBC News, radio news, was writing a book. But he never started writing the book. And then he did, and it was an award-winning book about a police scandal in Saskatoon. Anyway, I said, what made you change? He said, George, I finally figured out that to write a book, I had to write a book. And Greta may have experienced this, having written books. Anyone else written a book? Okay. But what gets in the way, and it's mentioned on the slide here, by the way, these slides, my slides from last week are up on the website, and these ones will be as well when Annie gets back from her yoga class. But anyway, there's a lot of causes for procrastination, right? A lot of it is fear, thinking that you can't do the job. But a lot of it is perfectionism, where you get assigned a task, anything that hasn't got through your 5 D's and actually landed on your desk. I know I try to do probably a better job than needs to be done on a whole bunch of things, and I do a lousier job on a whole bunch of things that need to be done better. So think about that. But perfectionism is a huge, again, brain science tells us that perfectionism is the enemy of action. Okay, next slide. Urgency and importance. Am I going too fast, by the way? Okay. I wasn't suggesting, by the way, you didn't understand things. I was just checking. Anyway, urgency and importance. So when you think of an action or a thing you have to do, ask yourself the following question. How urgent is this? And how important is this? Because what you want to focus on, and I'll use an example in a second, are those things that are important but not urgent. So if you think of exercise, it doesn't matter if you don't exercise this week, as long as you exercise on a regular basis. The only time exercise is unique in the sense that exercise is one of the few things that can be either urgent or not urgent. So if you're in decent shape and you've been exercising, it's not urgent. But if you haven't been exercising at all and you end up in an emergency ward of a hospital because you've had a heart attack, then it's urgent. But think about when you're deciding to pick up on things. There's a whole bunch of stuff that's not only not urgent, but it's not important. And I call that the ditch file. Just deep six that sucker. But the stuff that's important and not urgent is the stuff that builds your life, or so I've read. I didn't make this up. I stole it from a lot of places. And making time for exercise is mentioned up there. Anyone else have trouble getting to exercise class or going for a walk or a run? Yeah, because we get busy on other stuff. So the only advice I have is do it at a time when there's no way anyone's going to call a meeting or no one's up to bug you or whatever. So, I mean, personally, I do mine on the days I do it at 6 in the morning because no one's there around to bug you. The dog is there, that's it. And the dog needs exercise too. Be a contrarian. Stay home on long weekends as an example. We used to travel a lot on long weekends and spend a lot of hours in traffic. And then the lake is crowded, everything's crowded, right? So be a contrarian. There's lots of examples of contrarian things you can do. Carving out me time. This is aimed largely at the women because they have a hard time, in particular because of the crazy expectations of women. Right? They're the caregivers. They pretend that they care about us. They take care of us. And since they're better cooks, they cook all the food. And since they're better at laundry, they do all the laundry. Right, Scott?
No, sir.
Yes, the society has really messed up women. I don't need to convince you of that. And the expectations are unbelievable. And what do you see in the magazine rack? How to be super mom. Right, how to have a career, how to do all this stuff. There's a pretty wise phrase that you can do anything, but you can't do everything. So think of your 5 D's and think of what you can't do. Because frequently what you prevent from happening is more important than what you cause to happen. I found that out in a bunch of situations. Oh, by the way, I should have, at the beginning when I talked about how today is the execution side of the planning side we did last week, I should have mentioned Pinball Clemens, who is a former Toronto Argonaut player, coach, and president, and he was great. But that's not his true greatness. His true greatness is he's built 1,000 schools. Anyway, what he had to say was, vision without action is a nightmare, but action without vision... Sorry, I blew that. Vision without action is a daydream, but action without vision is a nightmare. I think that's one of the most important things I've heard. Okay, next slide. I'm interested in too many things and I get overloaded. Guilty on that one as well. And it's particularly hard, or I personally find it hard, if you're a procrastinator but you keep on taking on new tasks, like those are diametrically opposed, right? You're screwed. I was supposed to say I've been screwed a lot, but that's not true. Yes, I will. Eileen will share the truth later. But anyway, you know, being interested in so many things, and especially now, right, where we have Netflix and podcasts and radio programs from around the world and newspapers, and that's just the fun part, right? We've got the rest of our life to work on, or to even maintain our own technology at home. I'm president of my company, but I'm also the director of IT, right, because I have to hook up all the wires sometimes. And so, does anyone have this problem? Show of hands. You're interested in too many things? Yeah, Jim. Deb? Yeah, a lot of you. And it's a real challenge because you go, it's kind of like you're a bee. And you see a whole mess of flowers, right? And every time you go by a flower, you want to pollinate it. That didn't sound right. Thank you very much.
Schedules.
Yeah, schedules and calendars. So to believe some of the time management stuff on the bookshelf, all you need is the right tool, right? You need this specialized and very expensive book. Take it easy, Aileen. And there's all kinds of tools. So your phone has... Can you do repeating appointments in your phone? Okay. Yeah, so like I scheduled exercise ad infinitum. It never ends. And you can put a whole bunch of stuff in there on repeating appointments. And you get, there's so many great tools, and there's so many stupid tools, quite frankly. It's like a lot of things, right? Where when I started running in 1977, when I was thin... All you needed was a pair of shoes and a pair of running shorts. And now, man, the equipment and the monitors and onboard computers and satellite dishes and, like, it's nuts. We are insane. And speaking of insane, to-do lists. So to-do lists can be good. And the challenge with to-do lists, if you're a type A personality and you come in and the first thing you plan to look at is your to-do list, typically the things that are on your to-do list are the sand. Or small little things. So if you're a type A, as I am, I like knocking off a few first thing in the morning. So right away I'm violating what I'm trying to tell you guys to do, which is I'm working on sand before I'm working on the tennis balls. But to-do list, I've got a bit of a cure, is I make a spreadsheet that says, it sorts by priority. So I put priority, what is it, when is it due, and who am I doing with it? And the last one's really important because, like the example I gave of the AV guys, right? If an AV request came to me, I would highly recommend that they talk to these guys back. So it's important to say who you're doing it with. Okay, so, but the good news about the spreadsheet is when you're done, you can, in the priority column, you can type in done and then it'll sort down to the bottom. So that's how I manage my list. So I have a home list, I have a business list. And I have a non-profit list, which includes what I'm telling Greta I'll do, even though we haven't nailed down dates. Thank God. Okay, email. Heaven and hell in one place. Do we need to talk about email?
No.
Too many goddamn... Right, but when the good ones are great. Heaven and hell in one place. Okay, next slide. Because I got to tell you some stories. Unlike how I've been doing this whole thing. When I was doing my MBA at Queens in 1982, we had something called we invented something called Diners Club. Because we had no money, so we had to puff up our organization. So we called it Diners Club. Here's what Diners Club consisted of. I'd come see Scott, and I'd say, Scott, you picking up the beer, or you picking up the bag of chips? Because we were going to go and have a party. And we did it every week. We went to some of our classmates' houses, and we sang. We did all kinds of stuff. But there was no prep required other than, are you getting the beer or are you getting the chips? And we had a wooden spoon that we strung up through the ceiling and lowered into the crowd so we could do karaoke. It took no time. So one of my goals, I'm going to have to ship Aileen to Bermuda or something, is to have an NBA-style party this year. Because too much time is spent on the Martha Stewart stuff and too little time on the fun. Well, that's a strong opinion, but it's an opinion. The other one is the 45-second meeting. So when I managed the printing plant in Pickering, when I first got there was all kinds of problems, and there probably was more problems after I was through at the place. But anyway, and most of the problems were small. So they'd hold meetings with 15 people in a room. So that's going to cost a lot of money. And the supervisors say, we'll take care of that. And they didn't, because they could diffuse responsibility, right? So nothing happened. So this one I'm actually proud of. So I said, okay, we're going to have a 45-second meeting, not minutes, seconds. And here's the agenda. Anyone that can come forward with an idea that costs less than $50 to implement, we do it. No questions asked. And so people were working on printing presses that gave off a lot of heat. But they didn't have any fans. And they'd been asking for 3 years. Kind of like our parking lot. Our parking lot today is wonderful, but it's been a long-going issue, right? And Gary took care of it. Yeah, Gary. And he did it for free. He got stuff from work. All that stuff out there is from Gary's work, I think. Is that right? Is that true, Gary? Good man. No cost solution. Beautiful. But anyway, so what we did was the 45-second meetings. Once a day, I'd assemble individual departments, and then I'd send the supervisor to pick up the fan or to pick up the whatever. And what that meant was that even if the person stole the fan, the $40 or $35 fan, it was cheaper to have that meeting than it was to hold the 15-person meeting. And we got 200 things fixed in 3 months. And people no longer had a reason to complain about anything. And we started working on the tennis balls. So I'd like to turn it over to you. How much time do I have left? Okay, we've got 3 minutes. Some of the homework was I asked you if you had any tricks, time tricks you could share with the group. Does anyone have any? And who's got a microphone? Greta.
I'm really loud. Thank you, Murray. I thought of a little time-saving trick after reading David Eagleman's book, Somewhere. The afterlife is made up of the collection of all the things you did put into a chunk. So you spend, 6 years putting your socks on, and then you'll spend 13 years plucking your eyebrows, and then you'll spend, he didn't actually put the plucking your eyebrows in. But so one thing I don't do anymore, although I care for my clothes by hanging them up or putting them away every single day, I don't bother turning them inside out or right side out. I leave them inside out, and then I just put them on. Outside, like flipping them inside out. That's my little, probably saved myself an hour in the last 5 years.
I've had to call her back into the house 4 times though because she had her top on inside out. You know?
Almost 50 years now, I've been able to prove that shaving and haircuts are superfluous. Also, something that I used to do back in the days when I worked for gainful employment, I suggested to the people that I was working with and numbers around that I wasn't actually working with, that when mail comes to you, A-I-L, comes to you, hold it in your hand where you're standing beside a refuse receptacle of some description. Recycling. Oh, recycling thing. That's what it should be. And don't open anything while you're thinking of sitting down. Because you'll get carried away with reading that crap. So put it in the receptacle immediately. And if you think you're going to read something, open it. That extra piece on the outside with the envelope thingy, put it in the recycling. Don't carry it to the desk or upstairs or wherever else you may go and sit down. Waste of time, waste of energy.
I like to work first on the sand type of stuff and keep the tennis ball in my mind, because when it's time to have that tennis ball thing done, I work much better under pressure.
My to-do list keeps growing and always will. But I'm sitting reading and my wife asks me to do something, or watching something on TV and the wife asks me to do something. I've just learned now, put it down and do it, and then go back to reading, because I forget the important things that she wants me to do and it never gets done, and you got to do it anyway, so do what you have to do. Ben.
The that I'm retired, I am totally committed to never driving at rush hour.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff just by changing the process. So a lot of what I do professionally is process redesign. And I'll cite an example that I wasn't involved with. And that is at East York General, they hired two orthopedic surgeons, bone guys, who are also engineers from England. And so the way the process currently works is that if you have a bad hip, you go to see your GP, right, who then sends you to the bone guys, who then writes a letter to your GP. You go back to your GP again, and they tell you that you need a new hip. And then only then do they reschedule it. So it's an expensive and inconvenient process. So what the bone guy, I shouldn't call them the bone guys, that's not very respectful, but... Anyway, the bone guys, what they said was, if we determine you need a new hip, we're going to schedule it right then, and we'll send a letter to your doctor to let them know. And what that meant was that, so turnaround times in healthcare is a big issue. And a lot of it, in my opinion, and what I've seen, I've worked at 36 hospitals, is just because stupid process. Matter of fact, we started a group at CBC called the Anti-Working Stupid Project. I'm almost done. Anyway, it went from 82 days of turnaround time to get a hip replacement to something like 38, just by eliminating the papers stuff. And with that, by the way, there's no truth to the rumor that I'm Gordon Lightfoot's manager, but I've got another Gordon Lightfoot song going for you. So if we can flip to the next slide, and then the next slide, and start the music. And we can stand for this one and sing along, because we've got the lyrics going. Okay, keep going. This is a song about leaving a legacy.
Remember.
Okay, you can't read that. Okay, so my wish for all of us is that we all leave a legacy built on passion, compassion, integrity, authenticity, fun, and learning. Because your legacy is a result of the choices enabled by your courage to live your lives. Because it's my firm belief, after seeing a lot of different things, that courage is the key thing that enables everything else. And without courage, nothing happens. Next slide. So stealing words from Gordon Lightfoot's song, please live your life in your fashion, in your way. And thanks for sharing your time with me.
Thank you, George. It's unfortunate that we often think about our legacy at the end of our lives instead of at the beginning, instead of in those early days when all is new and we were sure we could do anything we ever wanted. And as we move through our lives and the path seems to get laid with concrete before us and we can't go off it because we've invested this much time so long, we sometimes find that, no, maybe it should have been there. But if every day is lived with that question, should it be there? Should it be over here? Is this right? I believe that even now, as you know, and we are all, almost all of us, in that latter half of our lives, that even now we can find the courage to live by the values that we choose, that are at our heart, that spoke to us perhaps when we were young, before we listened. So go from this place and find that road. Not maybe it's exactly the one that's paved before you, but maybe there's just a little path off to the side that you really want to walk. And find a way to do it and do it brilliantly. Go in peace.
Listening to a podcast from West Hill United Church located in Scarborough, Ontario, Canada. These podcasts are made possible by the generous support of our listeners, volunteers, and members of our community. To donate, go to our website, www.westhill.net, and click on the Canada Helps button, or go to www.westhill.net/donate.